May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 984. Hark, how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ and free grace therein abounds, free grace to such as sinners be, and if free grace, why not for me? 984.
Thank you. Lord, help us to read the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us each prayer. O Lord, we do pray for thy help in each part of this service. Thy blessing may rest upon our gathering together, that the gathering may be unto thee the heavenly Shiloh. But Lord, how shall this be except thou gather us? O Lord, we pray for that drawing power. Draw me, we will run after thee. Thou knowest where each of us are. But Lord, oh, we pray that thou wouldst gather us from wherever we are. O Lord, for we may be in thy house, but far off. And how often it is so. Oh, we pray, let it not be so ere this service comes to a close. O Lord, do grant that thy word may have a drawing power to draw sinners unto thee. Lord, oh, draw me. Draw each one of thy people. Draw those who've never come to thee. Draw them for the first time. And draw those who have come but have need to be drawn again. O Lord, we pray for that living ministry. We pray, Lord, for that life which never dies. One says, and often since our life had failed, had it not been in thee. Oh, we thank thee where any of us have proved this in our measure hitherto. But Lord, thou knowest all the questions. Thou knowest those that have come in here this evening with anxious fears. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Oh Lord, do decide the doubtful case. Thou art thy people's son. Oh, do shine upon the work of grace. If indeed it be begun, if it be not, do begin it. Lord, if we are right, show us and keep us right. If we are wrong, show us and put us right and keep us right. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, forgive us our sins, Lord. Oh, we grieve thee. Oh, forgive us all that grieves thee. Lord, our worldliness, our carnality, our unbelief. Lord, our doubts. Lord, our lusts, our pride. Our deceitfulness, our hypocrisy. Lord, our idolatry. Lord, everything. Oh, forgive it all, we pray. Let not one spot remain. Lord, we ask thy blessing again upon this people here. And the church is represented this day. Oh, do good in thy good pleasure to Zion and build her walls. Oh, we do pray, Lord God Almighty, do in thy mercy, do in thy covenant faithfulness, grant thy gracious reviving, the outpouring of thy Spirit. Lord, oh, that there might be those conversions which shall prove to be of thee by the enduring nature of that work. And Lord, how thy people need, Lord, those reconversions. As thou didst speak to Peter of it, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That those, Lord, that like Peter have grown independent, might be converted from that. O Lord, that we that have grown so lukewarm might be converted from that. O Lord, that any that have got so far off may be converted from that. That any that are held in any error might be converted from that. O Lord, converted from idolatry to the worship of the true and living God. Lord, oh, we pray that thou wouldst save us. Lord, bless this people. We again pray for them, the awaking of the north wind and the south, the blowing upon this garden, that the spices thereof may flow forth. Oh, do grant the power of the Spirit upon the word, and grant the help of thy Spirit to thy servants that come and minister, and to the deacons, Lord, in their office, upon the truths that are sung, the things that are read. O Lord, we do pray to be the blessed manifest head of this church, and Lord, the head of every one of thy churches, as surely thou art, but what we pray for is the clear manifestation of it. Lord, that we may resemble the head through thee being manifestly the head. O Lord, that we may be made Christ-like. And Lord, oh, that we might have that Christ-like abhorrence of sin, that Christ-like humility, that Christ-like faith, that Christ-like love of the Father. Lord, that Christ-like obedience. Oh Lord, we know it can only be in measuring us, poor sinners. And yet, Lord, oh, we would pray that we may know it. Lord, thou hast said in thy word that he that saith he abideth in thee ought himself also so to walk, even as thou didst walk. And Lord, if one may confess for any other, Lord, oh, what a poor walk is ours. Lord, oh, we pray, keep thyself ever before us, Lord Jesus, as an example, but not only an example. Lord, as a source, the source of that grace that we need. Didst thou not say to thy servant Paul, in answer to his request for the removal of the thorn, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. O Lord, we pray for that grace. Lord, help us. Lord, oh, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Lord, give us the eye to see thy judgments. And oh, let them help us. Lord, let the troubles thou dost lay upon us bring us to thy feet. Lay us low there and keep us there. Oh Lord, let those troubles remind us, Lord, of our native state, and remind us of the passing nature of this brief time here on this earth. Lord, oh, we pray, grant that speaking of peace. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Oh, we pray for thy people passing through tribulation now. Lord, speak to them tonight, that in thee they may have peace. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And Lord, we pray for an increase of faith. Lord, oh, we do ask for more faith, more solid faith, more confidence in Thee. We pray for importunate prayer. We confess, Lord, what fainters we are. We faint instead of praying. Lord, oh, bless us as Thou didst bless Jonah. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto Him, even into His holy temple. Lord, we ask for godly additions to Thy church, to the glory of Thy name. We pray, Lord, for children, for Thy servants. According to Thy promise, let Asher be blessed with children. We pray, Lord, for the overcoming of every hindrance. Lord, oh, when Thou dost make a way, nothing can hinder it. Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. Oh, may this people here, may we each know that. Make us willing, willing to be clean, willing, Lord, to be saved by grace, willing to be nothing that Christ may be all, willing to part with all that we may win Christ. Lord, willing to follow Thee, to tread the path as appointed. And Lord, when the time comes, willing to die, looking for and hasting unto that coming of the day of the Lord. We're reminded on these annual occasions of the swift passage of time. Oh Lord, we ask, Lord, sanctify to us these things. Bless the young. Lord, help them to remember Thee, their Creator, in the days of their youth, before the evil days come not, nor the days wherein they shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Lord, bless the young. Bless them indeed. Teach them, Lord. Quicken them. Bless the seekers among them. May they tonight find something, a handful of purpose let down for them, to encourage them in the way. And Lord, if any are not seeking, cause something to be said, Lord, with the power of Thy Spirit, that shall make them seekers. Lord, and we each need that. Lord, help us to seek Thee. Lord, and help us to keep seeking. Remember deacons, uphold them and strengthen them. Remember ministers. Lord, we pray for those present and each of Thy servants, wherever they are. Oh, Lord, do help them. Lord, oh, we pray that Thou bless them themselves. Bless them indeed. They may go to Thy people in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their tongue may be the pen of a ready writer by the blessed influence of Thy Spirit. Lord, do appear. Shine on Thy churches lest they die. Lord, have mercy. We thank Thee for all Thy goodness and mercy, all Thy kind providence. Lord, countless mercy. Day by day, night by night. But Lord, above all, we thank Thee for the mercy in Jesus Thy Son. That covenant faithfulness. Lord, everything that Thou hast required of Thy Son and received of His hand. And all, Lord, that Thou dost appoint Him to even now as that great High Priest. Lord Jesus, we thank Thee that Thou art that great High Priest, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by Thee. Go on to be gracious, we pray. Forgive now all we ask wrongly. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. For we plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 181. Believers own they are but blind, they know themselves unwise, but wisdom in the Lord they find, who opens all their eyes. 181.
in dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter that we read, the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2. Reading verses 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The favoured people of whom these words of the apostles are true, what a searching question for each of us here this evening. Am I saved by grace? One thing is certain. The one who is saved by grace will be made to feel they need saving every day, every hour, every moment by that grace. But the Apostle, surely by the Holy Spirit, writes here by way of remembrance to these believers at Ephesus, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, the Lord Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to be the remembrancer to his people. I read recently a sermon by Mr. John Vinnell, or part of it I read, and one point he made was that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, alone can bring comfort to the Lord's people. And if we, under the preaching of the gospel, or in any other means, seek to labour of ourselves to bring the comfort to ourselves, we are denying that blessed, promised prerogative of the Holy Spirit to give that comfort. Now that truth, when applied by the Lord to our hearts, will not make us slothful in the means, but will cause our eyes, the eye of faith, to be upon the Lord to grant his blessing. And this truth, you know, that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Why? Even that very truth may bring a measure of comfort to the sinner when they find they cannot take comfort to themselves, however hard they try. Is there one here tonight? Then you have striven and you cannot do it. My dear friend, I feel that I may, upon the word of God, encourage you that this is the path the Lord leads his people. The hymn writer sets it forth, doesn't he? The more I strove against sin's power. Now I'm speaking here of the sin of unbelief. And you can strive against that power of that unbelief, but you'll never win. You'll never conquer it. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. I'd not thought of speaking in that way at all. The Lord helped me to come to my text. for by grace are ye saved. He describes their previous condition. They were dead in trespasses and sins. The first saving work of grace is quickening by grace. Grace is God's sovereign, undeserved favor to save particular sinners. The Puritans and others used to speak of common grace. By that they meant the undeserved favor of God in providential things. All are the subjects of that who are not in hell. But this that the apostle is writing here of is sovereign, saving grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, quickening. Oh, no one deserves that quickening work. It is undeserved. But grace is not something only that is undeserved. There are so many words which we might rightly use to describe grace. And in this matter of quickening, the word that comes to my mind is this: invincible. The grace of God is invincible grace. That is, it cannot be withstood. It cannot be conquered. When God says unto a person, live, they shall live. When he sends forth the Spirit with the quickening power, they shall be born again. And it is all undeserved. It is all the work of God. Sovereign. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I believe I concluded this afternoon on the point that with regard to the knowledge of the Lord, from the least to the greatest, there are the differences in the measure of grace that are given, the measure of the knowledge, but that the grace of the Lord will, when in exercise, not cause those who are greatest to look down upon those that are least, because what the greatest have, those who are greatest in the favor of the knowledge of the Lord, those who have the greatest measure of faith and the greatest experience of love, is all grace. What hast thou that thou hast not received? For by grace are ye saved. This quickening then from being dead. That quickening to the beginning to know God. The dead cannot know God. The living. God must put life in a sinner before he can reveal himself to them. By grace he is saved. No natural education can do this. No natural persuasion of men can do this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Save then from that death. Save from that complete ignorance of God. Save from going through life solemnly ignorant of who God is, solemnly ignorant of what I am before him, a guilty sinner, and solemnly ignorant of the way God saves. Save from all that ignorance. Gracious teaching. His promises, thy teachers, shall not be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. By grace are ye saved. But then the manner of life of these people, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is what these people are saved from. Oh, my dear friend, is it ever a searching question with you? Has grace really made me different? I am sure of one thing, that if grace has made you different, it won't have made you as different as you want to be. Wasn't it John Newton who said, I am not what I would be. I am not what I once was. I am not what one day I hope to be. But nevertheless, surely this saving grace does make a person different. Here below it cannot remove from them the inbeing of sin. That is why the Lord's people here below are not what they would be. For if they could be, they would be free of sin. Can you say that? Sometimes. Ah, by grace are ye saved. Present tense. What opposites I find within, says the hymn writer. The working of sin, but you see there is the opposite. What will he see in the Shulamite? Not one army, but the company of two armies. What do we find in the apostle who wrote this letter? The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. So this speaks of the influence of grace, the influence of saving grace. Write not bitter things against yourself, poor sinner, because you're a sinner and because you cannot stop sinning. If there be from time to time that movement. I spoke to my own people not long ago concerning Samson. You see, after that wonderful prophecy of his birth, and the wonderful way in which the Lord himself appeared unto Manoah and his wife, we might have expected Samson to be a better man than he was. But what do we read of him? The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. There was a beginning of grace. The Spirit of grace came upon him. Grace is a spiritual thing. The communication of it is a spiritual matter. You can only get grace by it being given you. It can only be communicated to you by the Holy Spirit. I quote that word because of a particular remembrance I have of it in my own life, in my own early experience. I knew I wasn't what I once was, but I seemed to be such a paradox. sometimes exercised, sometimes careless, sometimes broken-hearted, sometimes as hard as a rock, sometimes an exercised hearer, sometimes not, sometimes praying, often not. And the Lord's servant came and spoke from those words. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. In the camp of Dan between Zor and Eshtel. And the Lord blessed the word to my soul. And he was proving to me, and he has proved to me ever since, that I am dependent upon the movement of the Spirit for every movement Godward. And as one of the Lord's servants now living says, what a blessing it is to find the least movement Godward. It's the work of the Spirit. By grace are ye saved. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, but God. This grace of God, but God. Oh, that means nothing but God. It's not but this about you, that about you. It's not but this man or that man or the other man. It's but God. Now that's grace, rich in mercy. This grace is invaluable grace. This grace is unsearchable grace. This grace, why, my dear friend, the price of wisdom is above rubies and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her, rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us. But this saving by grace, I want to speak of it in an experimental way. In speaking of how the blessed doctrines of grace are known and experienced, how is it that a person is saved in their experience by grace? The Lord help me to begin with declaring the doctrine of grace. That is, that God in his everlasting love, in his sovereign purpose, chose a people in his Son, a gracious choice, gave them unto his Son to redeem, gave them unto his Son to gather them to God, to the Father, to bring them to his Father, unblameable, unreprovable. Jesus said in John 10, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear me. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. A sinner saved by grace is a sinner saved by God on account of the person and the work of Jesus Christ alone. And that made known to them by the Holy Spirit of truth. That's grace. I said just now, this grace is invaluable, costly. God is so kind. The word says, doesn't he? The kindness of God. He gives freely to his people what cost him so much. What did it cost God to save his people by grace? He spared not his only Son. His Son gave himself. Oh, the tremendousness of these things. The co-equal and co-eternal Son of God came down graciously, took our nature graciously into union with himself, graciously, kindly, sovereignly, in favour to his people. He took their nature. He was made sin for them. All their sins were caused by the Father to meet upon him, in him. He was made sin for his people. That means that when he suffered on Calvary's cross, in the eyes of justice, he was the guilty one, although he was completely, absolutely, perfectly innocent, spotless, innocent, and pure. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he is eternal God the Son. He became poor. That blessed truth I mentioned to you this afternoon, that the Lord used in the deliverance of my soul for the first time, God requiring of his Son everything that was needed, not part of it. My dear friend, we do not preach a Christ who will save sinners if they can believe in him. We do not preach a Christ who can save sinners if they can repent of their sin. We preach Christ who saves rebels, unbelievers, hard-hearted rebels, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. This saving by grace, then, God accounting his people's sins as his sons, his Son suffering for those sins, giving himself for those sins. That grace, substitution. Abraham saw my day, said Christ. He saw it and was glad. Surely that was, at least on one occasion, when that took place on Mount Moriah. And the Lord spoke from heaven, stay thine hand, lay not thine hand on the lad, Isaac his dear son. And behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its horn. Christ, by covenant engagement in this matter of redemption, by his own promise, engaged in it. Not engaged in it by the people, he has engaged himself in it. And he took the ram and offered him on the altar in the place of his Son. Ah, that's grace, saving. There was no mercy for that ram. No mercy for that ram. My dear friend, there was no mercy for Christ. That's grace, isn't it? He spared not his own Son. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd. No mercy. Christ's prayers were not for mercy. Christ prevailed with his Father on the terms of his obedience. He prevailed with his Father on the terms of the precious blood that he shed. My dear friend, there couldn't be mercy for Christ and mercy for the sinner. Couldn't be. The sins, oh poor sinner, ask the Blessed Spirit to show you it was your sins laid on him. God must exact the full penalty. He must exact the full ransom price. His Son must give the full ransom price. And my dear friend, the hymn writer said he was shocked at the sum, yet prompt to pay. By grace are ye saved. This is the doctrine then of grace. Nothing the sinner doing, saving them, but what Christ did, saving them. Not what the sinner brings to God, saving them. What is Christ in giving himself to his Father, in shedding that precious blood, saving them. Not their obedience saving them, but his obedience. You know, these truths are solemnly separated. I've often thought this. We cannot, as the Lord enables us, if the Lord enables us to do it, we cannot preach a more separating sermon than preaching free grace. Because in free grace, there's no room for anything but free grace. And if we preach free grace, we preach what free grace really is and what free grace really does. That's the separating thing. By grace are ye saved. Now, to try to come to speak of the experience of it, we come to this next expression in the text, which is through faith. It is through faith, which is the gift of God, that these sinners are saved. That is faith in God that is given from the beginning, by which they tremble at him. It is faith in God which sees God's justice, trembles before him. It is faith in God which pleads with God to save them, though they know not how. It is faith in God which causes them to pray to God, Lord, if there is any way a sinner like I can be saved, oh, do show it me. There was faith in those Greeks, so we would see Jesus. Through faith. I mentioned that text this afternoon, as in the wisdom of God, it pleased God that man should not know him by that wisdom. Yet it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God graciously causes the gospel of his dear Son to be proclaimed. You sung of it in that first hymn, Free Grace. The great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish. Why is it? Graciously. Wherever God has a gracious purpose, that is, wherever God has one of his people, he will cause them to hear the gospel. He may use the means of a preacher. He may do the preaching himself. But each of them shall hear this sound and they shall come. It is the sound that is the secret to the faith. Think of those in Cornelius's house. Cornelius was a child of God. He'd been called by grace. He feared God. But he didn't know. He wasn't saved. But the Holy Spirit directed him to do what he did. I haven't the time to go through it now. You know it. But you know the end of it. And let me remind you of that. Peter, when that whole company was assembled together, and Cornelius said, "Now are we here present before God to hear all the things that God hath commanded thee." The Lord help every one of his servants to remember that. The Lord help me to remember it. The Lord help everyone whom he has sent to preach. We are commanded to preach all the things which God has commanded us. Preach the word. And as Peter preached, he preached salvation by grace. He said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." How did Peter perceive that? What he'd been taught on that housetop when God let that down that sheet and showed those things which he hath cleansed are not to be called common. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't save people because they're a nice person. He doesn't save people because they are morally correct. He doesn't save people because they are intelligent. He doesn't save people because they've given so much to the Lord's cause. He saves people because he will. But I digress. The point is this. As Peter preached, we read, the Holy Ghost fell on all that heard, and they all believed on him who was preached. Now that is being saved by grace. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By grace are ye saved. Remember what the apostle had to remind the Galatian churches of. He said to them, having begun in the Spirit, having begun in the Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit revealed Christ to you. It is by the Holy Spirit's communication of the grace of the Lord to your heart that you felt that love, that you felt that justification, that you felt that pardon, you knew it. Are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Because you see there were those that have risen up among them that said that they must attend to this and that. Fleshly obedience to be justified. By grace are ye saved. The gracious gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace and of supplication being poured upon you sovereignly. Now we might speak of this operation of the Spirit of grace with regard to conviction of sin. It comes by the power and grace of God. We might speak of it with regard to prayer, the Spirit of grace and supplication. It is the gift of God. And you see, we need reminding of this, because we have got such a legal tendency. And when we feel lack, and if we are being taught of God, if we are the Lord's people, we must be daily feeling lack. Where are we? Where do we tend to flee in our lack? We tend to go the direction the Galatian churches went. The hymn writer speaks of it. Why is it? Off through pride, my stubborn will to Sinai feels a cleaving still. Poor sinner tonight, those of you that don't feel you can say you are saved by grace, do you feel your ungraciousness? How does your ungraciousness manifest itself? You say, I'm so hard. Grace alone can soften. You can't soften yourself. I'm so unexercised about my soul. Only grace can exercise you. I'm so prayerless. I give up praying so quickly. Only grace can make you pray. Oh, I'm beset with unbelief. Only grace can make you believe. By grace are ye saved. Oh, sin has such power over me. Only grace can vanquish it. Oh, I do not feel to love the Lord as I ought. Only grace, the grace of the love of God, can alter that condition. For by grace are ye saved through faith. The faith that saves is illustrated by the case of the leper. After the Lord had preached that Sermon on the Mount, we read a certain leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That was faith. Faith brings a sinner to Christ, just as they are, just as a leper, in their blindness, in their pollution, in their wounded condition. Why is it? Because the one who is preached is the one who is the healer of men's souls, the blessed physician. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But it is that mysterious, and I use the word again, invincible power of the Holy Spirit that brings that sinner to Christ. No persuasion will bring them, but the persuasion of the Holy Spirit. Conduct, bless, guide thy sinner train to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain, and with us there abide. Through faith. It is not by faith. It is through faith. It is by Christ. It is by the blood. It is by the righteousness. It is by the life. It is by the person and the work. It is by the finished work. But it's through faith. Faith is the eye. Faith is the grace by which a sinner draws near to Christ. Faith is the grace by which the Spirit reveals Christ. Faith is a channel through which prayers go to Christ and through Christ to God. Faith is a channel through which grace flows from God the Father through Christ to the sinner. Because, my dear friend here below, there's no other way you can receive blessing but through faith. You can't see him with the eye. No, one day you will, child of God. But not while you're in this poor, sinful tabernacle. You've got to be changed before you're fit to see him eye to eye. But God gives faith, through faith. And then that faith, you see, is blessedly increased. The Lord said to that leper. But notice the, let me just notice the distinguishing features of that faith. He believed that Jesus Christ was able. But he believed that this was a sovereign ability. A sovereign ability. If thou wilt, thou canst. And as that work was of the Holy Spirit, and as his prayer therefore was so correct, being indicted by the Spirit, and as he came to that blessed person, he could not say no to that leper. Just as he couldn't deny Jacob. I will, be thou clean. Through faith, the Lord speaks again. And the faith he inspires as he speaks makes the sinful leper clean. It saves him. Don't some of you know tonight what it is to be saved by a gracious word of the Lord Jesus? When you couldn't believe and he said to you something like, ye believe in God, believe also in me, and you did believe in him. He did it. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Saved. Oh, that word this afternoon, the forgiveness of iniquity and the remembering no more of these people's sins. What a gracious act. What a gracious favor. Lord, why grace? Why, my son, that satisfied me concerning your sins? I smote my son in your place. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Oh, how faithfully. Of course, it must be so because the apostle was inspired by the Spirit. But oh, you know, when I think of a word like this, such a clear denunciation, a clear enunciation of truth, and the denunciation of error. You may know, my dear friend, which side of the matter you lie, which side of the matter you stand. According to what the apostle says when he says to the one, we are the savor of death, and to the other, we are the savor of life unto life. If the truth is preached and your soul drinks it in, as the Lord communicates it to you, water to the thirsty soul is the savour of life, isn't it? Unto life. But if, as the truth is preached, your soul rejects it, it rejects this truth that faith is not of yourselves, It's the savour of death unto death, just as it was in the Lord's ministry when he preached those separated truths in John 6. That was what caused many of his disciples to go back and walk no more with him. They could not receive the truth that except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. But the quickened sinner, the sinner taught of God, the sinner being saved by grace, loves the sound of grace. Loves the sound of grace. And grace, the sound of grace proclaimed, makes them cry out for it. And it draws them to the blessed one who proclaims it. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. It is all a gift. Ah, poor sinner tonight, do you know this gift? A gift of a living faith. Ah, you say, oh, that I did know it. Come to him then, sinner, in all your unbelief. If you come not as an unbeliever, you'll never come as a believer. Ah, since it is the gift of God, the sinner that feels to be destitute of faith. But you see, when they hear it is the gift of God, even by the speaking of that truth, a grain is given them, and the grain causes them to say to God, Lord, save me from my unbelief. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of works, nothing. Oh, this doesn't mean only it's not of according to good deeds done to people, it's not according to money given to the Lord's cause, it's not according to kindness shown to people, though all these things are good. And grace will cause these things rightly to spring forth. But the graciously exercised person, when grace is in exercise, they will not be thinking, those works are part of my salvation. Not at all. The Lord Jesus confirms this when he says, when his people come to heaven, he shall say, that well done, thou good and faithful servant. And they should say, when did we this? They'd forgotten it. They hadn't even considered it. It wasn't in their mind. Why? Because they realized their works were all sin-stained. But what he speaks of, which is commendable, is the works which now the apostle writes of here. And since they are not the works of the creature, that is why the Lord's people, when they come to heaven and the Lord pronounces that sentence upon them, I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was athirst and ye gave me water. I was sick and in prison and ye visited me. When did we this? Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. But what caused them to do it? We are his workmanship. Now this is the truth that I mentioned earlier that causes the Lord's people to be so exercised concerning the reality of his work. But as I thought upon this before the service, it came to me like this. All the while the Lord's people are here below, this workmanship may be called or rightly spoken of in those people as an unfinished work. It is all according to the finished work of Christ. But what do we read of Christ concerning the work he's finished? When he had, by his own offering, sanctified his people by his own blood, he sat down on the right hand of God, henceforth expecting. He knows, though redeeming work is complete, the sanctifying work isn't complete. The justifying work is complete, but not the sanctifying work. The sanctifying work will be complete when that which the apostle writes in the epistle to the Philippians, who should change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. But what is the standard of this workmanship? It is Christ Jesus. That is, his workmanship must and does bear his own hallmark. That is, his people shall in a tiny measure resemble him. The faith of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, the humility of Jesus Christ, the meekness of Jesus Christ, everything that is so beautiful, and everything is beautiful about Christ. Moses prayed, didn't he? And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. For we are his workmanship. He is the one that is working in his people. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ah, sinner, when you have so much to complain about concerning your sinfulness, concerning your unchristlikeness, how you repine under his judgments, how you murmur against his dealings. Oh, how you are so earthly still and carnal. How you are such an idolater still. To him alone do thou complain. Take that complaint you have about yourself to him and ask him graciously to make you different. He openeth the eyes of the blind, his workmanship. He unstops the deaf ears. He makes the lame man leap as an hart. He causes the tongue of the dumb to sing. He makes the leper clean. He preaches the gospel unto the poor. We are his workmanship. The Lord took Jeremiah down to the house of the potter, didn't he? And the potter marred the vessel in his hand on the wheel, cast it aside, and made another vessel. You see, my dear friend, every one of the Lord's people are different. He has a purpose different for everyone. If we think of the Lord's servants, though they each preach the same truth, If they are anointed of the Spirit, the same Christ, yet the Lord evidently has a particular line. Although this may, of course, change in the purposes of God through the ministry of a minister, you won't find two ministers exactly the same in the way they handle the matter, in the way they declare it. Each according to the Lord's work upon them. We're not wise if we compare ourselves among ourselves, because the Lord doesn't make in his workmanship two people the same. We are his workmanship. Philpott used to say, Christians, true Christians, are like oak leaves. They can be recognized as a Christian, but no two oak leaves are the same. We are his workmanship. But my dear friend, that hand on the clay is forming it as he will have it formed. And you see, everything that he lays upon us, is to do something. Job said he is in one mind, and who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. But how often the believer, in a fit of unbelief, says that the Lord is making a mistake in what he is doing in their life. And no more is this so than when under the Lord's judgments the sinner feels to be getting worse, getting poorer. But that's the Lord's workmanship. What did John Baptist say? You know, the Lord makes no mistake when he does finish his workmanship. John Baptist, he evidently was plagued with his unbelief in that prison. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Surely if he is the Christ whom I've preached, I wouldn't be in prison. Is the one here tonight? Surely if I knew the true Christ, surely if the true Christ was mine, I wouldn't be where I am now. I wouldn't be in all this trouble. I wouldn't be in all this grief. I wouldn't have all this opposition from within and from without. Paul, I wouldn't have this thorn in the flesh. He graciously gives the thorn to make room for the grace. He graciously gives the burden to bring the sinner to be feeling in that condition of needing a burden bearer. He graciously brings upon that one that trial that brings out all the dross of their wretched nature. Is the one here this evening, and the Lord's workmanship upon you is bringing forth from the depths of your hearts things you never knew were there. All I can say, my dear friend, is better to find them out that way than in the day when there is no hope. To be graciously convinced again and again of your sin and brought freshly to the founding. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That ordaining, you see, the whole work in the mind of God. Here is the infiniteness of the God with whom we have to do. He sees the end from the beginning. He has ordained that we should walk in them. Amen.
collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Let us close with hymn 592. Mighty to save is Christ the Lamb. Let all the saints adore his name and make his goodness known. With one accord proclaim abroad the wonders of their Saviour God, whose blood did once atone. 592.
Thank you.
thank thee for thy word, for thy grace. Lord, we thank thee for grace given. We pray for more. We plead thy promise. He giveth more grace. Lord, we need it. Forgive all amiss. Keep us each safe as we separate. Take each one of the friends home safely, we pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.